Welcome to the AMC Stock Story Podcast. I'm your host, Russell Corey, and this is not financial advice, and I am not a financial advisor. This is solely for entertainment purposes as I talk about my experiences of investing in AMC stock and becoming an AMC ape.
Episode 81, Playing Poker with Bitcoin. Now, when I say playing poker with Bitcoin, I don't mean I'm betting, you know, with my Bitcoin and, you know, throwing that in the pot. I mean, I'm literally sitting, staring at the Bitcoin ticker, and I'm saying to it, are you bluffing? Are you going up? Are you going down? And the reason I got into this situation was I noticed that when I was trying to get my position back, my second position back in SHIB, that it was very tied into the price of Bitcoin. That if Bitcoin went up, then a few seconds later, the Shiba Inu would go up. If Bitcoin went down, a few seconds later, the Shiba Inu was going to be going down. So you had a few seconds there to react and at least kind of see what it was going to do. So I had been, you know, like I said, I missed the chance to get in at 36. And in all fairness, I didn't know, you don't know what the bottom's going to be, you know, when you're watching it go down and when you should get back in line, get your position back, right? There's no guarantee. You know, you could buy back at 36 and 2 seconds later, this thing drops to 32, 28, 24, right? So when I saw it bounce off 30, 36 and go back up, and then it got to 37, 38. And at that point, I had felt like I had missed the opportunity to buy it back. And then at that point, it was a lot easier to, talk to my wife about it and say, you know, this is what happened because we didn't communicate because we were mad at me that, you know, I had sold the second position and even set it up without letting her know. So we just didn't have a plan to buy it back, right? But we talked about it. We did get a plan together that we would wait till it went down again, and then we'd buy it back. Unfortunately, the next time it dipped down, it only got to about 30, 38 again, right? And at that point, I could have bought back the same number of coins that I had sold it at, right? So basically, maybe nothing gained, but nothing lost either. And the problem I had with that was, it was just, we hadn't earned anything at that point. Like, what was it all for if it was just stepping out of line and stepping right back in exactly where you were? And I thought I could do better. So I passed up on that chance. And then when it went back up, I regretted it again as like, well, I should have, you know what? I should have just, you know, let go of my ego, let go of my greed and just said, look, maybe I made a mistake and please let me back in at the same coin amount that I was at when I left. But that opportunity seemed like it went away as well. And then I kept waiting, kept watching, and because it was on a downward trend. I mean, you can look at the chart, and it's a diagonal line going down. I'm not a financial advisor. It's not financial advice, but I can look at, you know, a chart and say, well, this is clearly going down. Now it did, it's kind of bumping. It started to bump up at the end at that point. Hopefully that is maybe a change of direction, but still you could see it still going down at that point. So anyway, I kept watching it and kept watching it. And again, this isn't, you know, if you don't own any SHIB, that's fine. The reason you should listen to this is it's about making these decisions and knowing that there's this moment when you can make a decision and it may or may not work out. Or you may or may not make the decision. And then what are the feelings you have afterward if you don't make a decision? So I kept watching it and we got our kids to bed. And I was up and I went down and I noticed it was going down a little bit. She was going down a little bit. So I went down to the computer that I normally look at. And I also had my phone so I could have at least two different devices going. And then because it was tied into Bitcoin, that seemed to influence the price. I opened up another window on my computer that just had the price of Bitcoin. So when I say playing poker with Bitcoin, essentially what I was doing was I was sitting at my computer and I was looking at that Bitcoin ticker and I was watching it go up and go down. And if it kept going up, then I knew that the Shiba Inu was probably going to go up. But when it was going down, which is when I was, you know, needed to buy it, that's when, you know, I would wait. I wouldn't pull the trigger yet because I wanted to see how far can Bitcoin go down. And as you know, Bitcoin went down quite a bit recently. So I sat there and I was watching it and just betting, you know, how far it would break. So it got to the point where it was back. I opened up a buy order. And I could say, well, this is the amount. I put the amount of money that I was, you know, that I sold that, right? And I was buying back in. And I could see what the amount of coins was going to be that it would get me. And I kept watching it. And it was getting closer and closer to the point where I had sold. And then it finally got to that point where if I had, you know, pulled the trigger at that moment, I would have gotten the same amount of coins back. Just did a lower average. But I said, no, you know, that's not good enough. I need to come out of this with something. You know, I got to tell my wife, listen, I'll be quite honest. I got to be able to tell my wife, see, I did it and it worked, right? Because if I just got back in line exactly where we were, then she would, you know, look at me and say, well, why did you do all that for? You just, you know, you ended up at exactly the same spot. Whereas if I can say, well, you know, we got a million extra coins for the same amount of money, you know, that's why I did what I did. So anyway, I kept it there, and as it started, and then finally it did Bitcoin. And this is where this was the intense part, was watching that Bitcoin, and you realize you're betting against Bitcoin, and they keep going down, Bitcoin, keep going down. And Bitcoin can be very explosive, and it's huge amounts, you know. So you're watching this thing go down, you know, and keep, you know, waiting for it to go thousands, and, you know, go down another thousand, go down another thousand. You know, will it do that? And I kept going, and finally it got to the point where the amount of coins I'd be getting when I bought back was a million. I'd be getting a million more coins than I was that I had left at. And once I got to that point, I was ready to pull the trigger. I would love for it to have gone down even lower, right? But at that point, Bitcoin started to go back up, and I didn't want to miss that opportunity. That if I just kept watching it and it went past that point where, you know, like I had, you know, where I had sold that the amount, and now I would have got less coins. Then at that point, I'm not pulling the trigger because I'm like, I'm going to wait again. So as soon as it started going back up, and I was still going to make about a million more coins than when I left, I took it. I swiped it and I did it. And it was a very intense feeling of, like I say, playing poker with Bitcoin. And it was really intense. I imagine the feeling you'll get when you know, you're going to make a decision on your exit strategy. You know, when do you leave? When do you swipe? Is it going to go up even more? Is it going to go down? You know, you're waiting on, you know, did you have a certain price point and it went past that, but now it's going back down and you want to be able to sell before it goes, you know, down past your price point. So very intense feelings, and I'm feel so much better now that I have our coins back. But then the other thing I did was when I swiped at that point, there was actually technically a smaller position that I had also converted into AMC shares. So I wanted to get that position back in Shiba as well. So I said, well, if it dips down, you know, again and does another dip back into this, you know, territory, I'll buy those back as well. And that was a much smaller buy, but it did. So I bought those back as well. So I finally got my position back. I'm back to the same coin count that I was. I'm done at this point. You know, it's like, look, give it a year, see where you're at. Hopefully it gets back on track here. And but the great thing now is that by waiting for that dip, by buying when, you know, you're never going to get it exactly the right moment. That just, you know, unless someone gives you some inside information on exactly when it's going to pivot, you just have to use your judgment. But by getting it at that low dip, so now when SHIB goes down and it's hitting, hopefully, its bottom, you never know when it's going to break through. But when it's, you know, hitting that bottom right now at like, you know, 30, 39, 38, you know, I'm still profitable now on that second buy. Now, if it gets down, you know, 37, 36, then it's, you know, a little iffy. But that's the comforting thing for me, that I don't stress out now anymore when I see that. And but it was very intense and, you know, good practice, hopefully, for the MOES. So the things that I learned about it is, you know, again, it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to get the perfect moment. Have your plan and try to get as close to it as you can. But no, it's not going to be perfect. And be aware, you know, when you have that target and it doesn't quite get to that target, and now all of a sudden it starts moving away from your target, you know, if you don't take it, you do run that risk of after the fact, that regret of like, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I buy it? You know, it's one thing to deal with, well, that's not quite what I wanted, but I'm pretty happy with what I got, as opposed to why didn't I do it, and knowing you won't get that chance again, or you'll be really off your target if you, you know, pull the trigger at a later point. So there's that. There's also, you know, again, I talked about the communication. If you're in this with a partner, make sure you've talked and you've communicated about these different scenarios. And then thirdly, you know, when that moment you have to make these decisions, obviously the less distractions you have around you, the better. I think for me, not, you know, just it being myself, you know, my wife wasn't around, my kids weren't around, it was just complete quiet, I could totally focus, no one was watching TV or running around or trying to take my phone, that I had everything that I needed. And at that point, I had made my mind up that, okay, you can pull the trigger. When you're good with this, pull the trigger. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. You know, this is, you know, you're sitting there and you have to make this decision. So those are the big things, that just make sure you have the space to make a good decision. Make sure you have your goal, but know that you may or may not get to that goal. And if you get close, can you pull the trigger on it? Or are you going to regret not pulling the trigger and miss that opportunity? So say, for example, in the MOAS, right? You say, well, if it gets to 10,000, I want to sell then. Well, a lot of people probably want to sell when it gets to 10,000, right? So let's say you're watching it and it's at 9,500, 9,800, 9,900. But then once it hits 10,000, all these people trigger. So immediately as soon as it touches that, it falls back and it may go down quickly to, you know, 95, 93. And now you're trying to get in it. You're wondering, well, is it going to go back up? And maybe when you're waiting for it to go back up, it goes to 85, 83. And, you know, maybe you're getting a little worried that maybe this is it, that, you know, so many people are going to buy in at this point, and people may be afraid that it's not going to go back up. People really keep jumping in now, and maybe that pushes it down even lower. And you might be afraid, well, you know, if it gets to 65, now you're not going to want to, you know, buy it in that. So, you know, let's say your goal is 10,000, one of these big round numbers. If you're happy with that amount, right, and not saying like, well, if it goes past 10,000, maybe it goes to 12, 13, 14, right? Or maybe you have a plan, you can buy more. It's just that it was one of your first or second goals was 10,000. You know, you may want to think about going a little bit before it hits that big, perfect round number. You know, if it gets to 90, you know, 8, you know, are you okay with that? Like, you're good with that, even though it could go past, you know, if you only have 10 shares, right, and you're going to buy all 10 shares once it hits 10,000, that's different. And you may want to wait to see what it does. But let's say you had 100 shares and you want to buy 10 of them at 10,000. At that point, I would say, hey, maybe you get them at 95, just 98, just in case, you know, if it hits that round number, it doesn't trigger all these, you know, sell orders, right? And then if it goes past, like, let's say it breaks 10,000, and then it goes up to, you know, 10, 11,000, 12,000. Since you had, you know, yeah, you sold 10 shares, but you still have 90 shares left, and now you can keep buying after it breaks that level. So, you know, there's that. But I don't know. We'll see. The stock did take a tip for AMC. Again, it's not fun when that happens. I'm going to be perfectly honest about my state of mind. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little scared at this moment. There's so much stuff going around about buy shares, don't buy shares. They're trying to dilute the company and turn it into a penny stock. You know, a lot of this comes from Lou, but then also people's reaction against him. Also the fact that, you know, Ken Griffith went out and bought the Constitution for $43 million. So if he had any money trouble, like he couldn't, you know, keep his position going. And again, I don't know if that was a front that he did to sort of like, oh, that's a bluff. Like, oh, look at me. I'm buying the Constitution for $43 million. I don't have any money trouble. You apes should give up because I'm just, you know, running around buying a few sheets of paper for millions of dollars, right? Or if he honestly has so much money that he can do this, like, you apes want to go for another 10 years? Let's go for another 10 years. I'm good. So, you know, that part gets in your head a little bit. And then obviously when it dips down, it's one thing when you're at your cost and you know that worst case scenario, you can, you know, cash some shares out to pay for some stuff and you're not taking you're not losing money. And but now we're not at that point. It's dropped down, you know, below our buy-in average. So that's never much fun. You know, hopefully if it goes back up, you know, I'll be happy. But again, it's one of those things, what's going to cause this thing to squeeze. And it could very well go into next year, you know, 2022. I hope it doesn't. I hope it happens sooner rather than later. And I'm glad I went through the experience that I did with Sheeb that, and again, you know, I was also lucky that, you know, I had a couple of, you don't know when the bottom is, right? Well, once it hit 36 and went back up, and then when it came back and it hit 38 and went back up, I knew there was that was kind of the bottom. So then the third time when it dipped and I was watching it and I was almost ready to buy at 38, but I wanted to see if it would go lower, and it did. It went a little bit lower. I was able to buy, you know, get a little bit more from where I left out. So that was one thing, having the confidence of seeing it bounce a couple times. It very well still could go down into the 20s at this point. It wouldn't surprise me if it did. That's kind of what I'm expecting. And if it does, you know, and I still believe in it, I probably will buy a little more with a thought of looking forward to next year, that in the short term, this thing is on a downward trajectory. But if Robinhood lists it, if things start clicking with it, maybe it will slowly turn around. And by next year, you know, it's going to go back up. And the nice thing is what I learned in the beginning when it made its first runs, when you're watching it go up dramatically like that and you realize everything you've invested in it has now been paid for because it's gone up so much, you're able to buy in so low. So that's my hope. Who knows where it will go, but it was a good experience. Well, anyway, hope you're doing well, and I will talk to you on the next episode of the AMC Stock Story.